Ken Watmore, your host of Power Players Radio, the radio ministry of 1615.tv. Thanks for joining us. It's Sunday and it's 5 o'clock. That means it's time for the Featured Artist Profile. This is a great show. Show where we get an opportunity to listen to a CD cover to cover, some of the hottest Christian music from around the globe. Wade, thanks for joining us. It's Ken Watmore. You're joining us for another Featured Artist Profile, and now we have my new favorite group with us, and I'm not kidding about that. Dave Lemieux from Dave Lemieux and the House of Soul is joining us on the phone. Normally we do this in the studio, but actually one of my kids has this wretched swine flu, so I called Dave and said we should probably be responsible and do this over the phone. So here we are. Dave, thanks for joining me.
Oh, man, I appreciate it, and thank you for not giving me the virus.
Right. This thing travels like nuts, man. I know you have kids. I mean, are you hearing about it at school? And
you know, so far they're okay, but yeah, we do hear stories and try to, you know, keep them out of harm's way. Today they have a dentist appointment, so that's enough for us to deal with.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Do your kids handle the dentist well?
It depends, but today they seem to be okay about it. I told them that, you know, they're going to get their teeth tickled, and so they kind of laughed and went off to school. They're 8 and 6, so, you know, you never quite know what to expect.
Right. Well, cool, man. Well, hey, let's talk about what we're really here to talk about, and that's your band, where you're at as a band, and what you're doing, and all that kind of stuff. I just want to tell the listeners that you're here in Colorado, based out of Colorado, and at least you are in the Colorado Community Church. Is your whole band the worship band there, or do you have pieces coming from different places too?
You know, it is a mixed bag a little bit. There's several people that call Colorado Community Church, which is where I've been ministering for 10 years. They call that their home church and help out quite a bit on the weekends and the various stages that we have. And then once a month or so, we come together as a band at church and get to have a great time, and we appreciate the support of our church. But not everybody goes there, and so, you know, we pull for some other places. The band started out, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, actually, after a few different trips, short little musical tours out to California with different music directors from all around the Colorado, well, really the Denver metro area.
Right.
And after doing that for 3 or 4 years, a band sort of crystallized. It was just a concept where we'd get people together from different churches and go out and tour together just for the sake of community. But after doing that, I guess it was after the third year, several other people decided that they were like-minded enough to stick together and form a group. So it kind of had an interesting beginning, but yeah, a lot of the folks are still tied in with my church.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, and I know that at least one of your guitarists that plays with you is a member of my church and leads our early worship service, well, our early church service there, and he leads the worship in that service. That's Owen. And I'll go through the band members with you in a little bit. I do want to let the listeners know that at the end of this interview, we're going to listen to the CD Great and Mighty Things from cover to cover. And is the CD actually called Great and Mighty Things or Great and Mighty?
Great and Mighty Things.
That's right. What I thought. I know that's the song, the title track, but for some reason when I plugged it in, it was just coming up with the CD cover as Great and Mighty. So the CD is Great and Mighty Things, and this is a live recording from the Soiled Dove at the Lowry, in the Lowry Air Force area, right? Or the Lowry military base area.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us did that?
You bet. It's a redeveloped old military base there, kind of in the Denver metro area, if you're not from this area. And, there's some really cool restaurants and shopping center that went in over there, and obviously lots of housing. And right in the middle of it all, there's this great jazz club. And, man, I'm not quite sure how we ran across it for the first time, but we've been there now about a dozen times. And oftentimes we'll partner with my pastor, Robert Linus, and he'll do like some jazz nights with us and get up and talk about, he's calling it a jazz-shaped faith. And the best thing I can say about that is there's a lot of metaphors in jazz as a music genre that can help us to live better lives in community. In ensemble community, actually, as Christians. And so it's a cool thing. We'll go down there and we'll play a bunch of our music, and he'll get up and talk. But it was way back in March of this year, and we pushed record, and everything that we sang over the first couple of times at the club, we recorded. And so we were able to come up with 12 songs out of that. And, yeah, Great and Mighty Things is the name of the album. That's the title track. And it's a great venue and just the live energy. Anybody that's ever, you know, listened to a live record, you get the feel of being right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a well done live recording. It's in live recording, I know that there's some remastering that has to go on and everything like that. Did you guys experience a lot of that for sound quality and things like that? Or were you just blessed and it just came out great?
Mostly it came out great. You know, the thing, I guess the trick there is you just record more than you're going to use. So we actually, I think there were 20 or 25 songs or so over the course of a couple of nights. And we chose the best 12 and spent some time mixing it. And, I don't know, I was real pleased with the results, but we're hoping that other people would be as well.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's a great album, but the song Great and Mighty Things, I posted on Facebook. We have a lot of our listeners that kind of follow along our ministry, not just our listeners, but we do a lot of media stuff with video and everything else. And they follow along there. And I posted on there that was my new favorite song, because when you open up your website, you know, that song starts playing from the album, and it's great. I would ask you just, you know, I know where the song comes from. I know that, right in Jeremiah 33:3, God says, call to me and I will show you great and mighty things that you've never known. What for you, how kind of tell us, unpack that for us. How did that song come to you?
Yeah, you know, you're dead on there. Jeremiah 33:3, and that's actually become a sort of a tagline verse for a lot of just my Christian brothers and sisters that I know. I got an email once from a guy, and right at the end of it, he had that verse down there. And I was just in a songwriting place at the time, and having read his email, I think he was heading off to a mission trip and just asking for prayer and sharing a little bit of news of what he was going to do. And then he put this verse on there, you know, and oftentimes when people do that, I suppose the downside of that is the Bible can become cliched, but the upside of that is it reminds us of how rich the word is. You never know where people are at when you send a little verse of encouragement or just, you know, give them a phone call or just touch base with another person. And I happened to be in a place where I was sitting at my piano and reading his email and just really, you know, I can't explain it. I was in a songwriting mood, and it was one of those times of just me and God, and the song popped out. And songwriters know that oftentimes, you know, it's a labor of love. It takes hours and hours and days and weeks and a lot of rewrites and that kind of thing. But then other times you're blessed and a song just sort of appears. And that was one of those times. And I started picturing, you know, times in my own life and maybe even more so, just specific people in my life that I know have, given up on calling on God. They maybe haven't, you know, stopped believing in God altogether, but they stopped calling on Him. And I think they're, you know, relying on their own strength a little bit, and I can relate to that. I feel like that today, actually. I woke up in the morning and felt like I was trying to do things on my own, and that never really leads anywhere good.
Right.
So, just, you know, I wanted the whole song to be this moment, you know, that reminds us that our life on our own strength is going to end up meaningless. And we just need to call on God. He wants to hear from us. As much as He wants to speak to us, He also wants to hear from us. And He promises many things when we just, you know, stay in relationship with Him. So that's all that is.
Yeah. You know, and it's a couple things that I would comment on there is that, you know, you're right. A lot of times a verse can become cliche, and because it's taken out of context also so many times. But there's one thing for sure, and that's that God does remind us in so many ways through Scripture that, you know, He's telling us to call on Him, and He will show us great and mighty things. In many different ways He puts that throughout the text. And I would say that, you know, the other thing I wanted to comment on is so many times we don't do that. So many times we do. Like you said, you woke up, you know, you kind of feel like you're doing it on your own. And we always have to have that checkpoint where we say, wait a second, okay, God, where am I supposed to go with this? What am I supposed to do here? You recognize when you're doing it on your own. You recognize when you're out of sync. And that prayer without ceasing is really communication without ceasing. He wants to talk to us all the time and keep up with us. I'm constantly in this discussion with my children just to tell them, hey, you know, this prayer time at bed is great. It's, you know, puts God on our minds and on our hearts right before we sleep. And when we wake in the morning, it starts our day off with Him. But He doesn't want it to stop there. He wants us to turn to Him constantly. He wants that relationship with us and the best relationship out of everyone that we have.
That's right. You know, and if he doesn't breathe life into us, you know, we're still dust.
Yeah.
And I just love that the Word of God starts with that as our history. You know, that without God, we're basically as good as the ground we're walking on, and it's so easy to forget. So
that's
fun when you can. When you can find a musical, you know, idea or a melody or a hook thing that's real memorable, it can breathe life, new life, into the scripture and really into old truth, you know. And that's probably my favorite thing about music, is that it can just help bring truth alive for me and for others. And I'm just blessed to be a part of that, you know, and to be in a community that believes that as well. And great musicians and singers, and just love to be together and love to do that for others, you know. And so it's cool enough when you can bless God with a song, you know, a worship song to Him. But it's a whole another level of cool when you can share God with somebody else and share truth and just allow people to see life and see God in a way that, you know, He needs to be seen.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, if you're just tuning in, I'm talking with Dave Lemieux from Dave Lemieux and the House of Soul, and we're about to play the album Great and Mighty Things here in just a few, but I want to talk a little bit longer about some things. And one is another thing you just pointed out was that you're blessed. You're in a community of talented musicians. And I want to emphasize that to our listeners who haven't heard you yet and are about to. I mean, this... I'm not saying this to pat you on the back. You and I know each other outside of this interview, and I know you're a humble guy. You have a band of very fundamentally sound, technically gifted musicians. I mean, these are not just it's not just a bunch of people getting together to jam. You got a great band.
Oh, thanks, man. And I wish I could take credit for that, but this is just. A group of people that somehow found each other, and I don't want to overanalyze it because it'll probably take the some of the mystery away. But
right.
I just feel blessed to know them. So.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, I know that you and Nicole—is it Nicole Walters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, you are the primary songwriters in the group, and I know you get together and write, or have written, a majority of this music at least. How does that work? I mean, where do you guys go to write the music? I mean, is it, do you just get together in prayer and then and wait for it to come to you? Or you just start writing stuff down?
I love that question. Wow. Well, I think for me, I started writing songs before I even, knew what I was doing musically. And I was kind of a late bloomer to all of that. Didn't really start studying music till into college. But was writing some songs, I think, before that, and didn't know what I was doing. Everything kind of sounded the same. I played piano by ear, not exactly sure where I picked that up. My mother taught me a few things. She's always taught piano and guitar, and was a good singer-songwriter back in her day, and still does some of that. So I picked up some stuff just by being in a home where it was happening. But you have to apply yourself, in any discipline, I would say. And so somewhere along the line, I had people around me that helped me and said, hey, you've got a good, songwriting gift there, but, here's a book, read this book. And so, I was on a vacation once and read a big, thick, craft of lyric writing book by Sheila Davis, if anybody's, curious about these types of things. But, I read the book and applied some of those principles, and I could feel right in that time frame where, just my approach took on a different shape, and I was able to be a little bit more prolific and learn some things. But then, a lot of it's trial and error and just commitment to it. And like anything, you have to have a passion for it, because if you don't, you'll sort of give up, and when you hit a valley or you go through a desert, you'll give up. So I've always had a passion for that. But then having met Nicole, found somebody else with a passion, and now you've got two people that can help each other. And when you're feeling frustrated by something, or you're onto something, but you just can't get the bridge right. Well, now you got somebody else who's right there and, gifted. And she's, I don't know all of her story as a songwriter, but I know that she's very good at it. She has a great passion for it. And, she gets woken up in the middle of the night with melodies and lyrics. And so when we get together, there's usually something that we're starting from, and, you know, there's a chemistry there where we can kind of finish each other's sentences in the context of a song. So that's a great blessing. There are other great songwriters and arrangers in the group as well. But Nicole and I made a commitment about 3 years ago to get together on Fridays and just kind of grind out some stuff, because, you know, you can't really have a band or a community of musicians if you don't have a set of songs. So we wanted to make sure that we were true to that call. You know, let's get some songs. Let's finish some things. Let's put some repertoire together. And God seems to, you know, honor that so far. So we're blessed.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and she's a great voice in the group as well. And I know that you have several great voices in the group. And I know, you know, I recently watched you guys live at Heaven Fest here, and watched Michelle sing "To Me, Oh God," and man, that's a moving song. Tell me about that.
Yeah, you know, that's a Nicole Walters special, and true to form, I think it started at 4 a.m. So rolled out of bed and probably grabbed, you know, whatever napkin or a piece of paper was closest to her and wrote down, you know, these words. And it's a wonderful worship song, you know, just talking to God of how he blesses and how he's so good to his children. And when she brought that song to me in one of our writing sessions, you know, I tried a couple different options on the chords, and you know, I could tell on her face that it wasn't quite what she was hearing in her head. So we kept working that for a while, and it ended up becoming a very simple chord progression, just four chords over and over again. And, you know, that's not typical of our group, because we've got a lot of jazz musicians and people that, you know, arrange for a living. But this song just seemed like it needed a simple thing. And so when we hit on it, she got a big smile on her face, and that was great. I knew I had, you know, I had obeyed.
Right, right. So, and how do you figure out who's going to sing that song?
You know, let's see. We've got a total of six singers in the group. Well, I guess the guitar player sings as well, off and on. So really seven singers, and all of them are wonderful at blending and finding harmonies. And then we've got, you know, wonderful soloists in there as well. So, you know, once you've been together for a little bit and you get a sense of people's personality and their voice, and then, you know, the fun part is if you're deep enough in community, you even know what people are going through. And yeah. So if there's a particular lyric idea, and you can tell that somebody, just because of who they are, what their personality is, their experiences, and maybe what they're going through at this current time, you know that they're going to be the one to sing this song and pull it off with a degree of soul and a degree of brokenness and humility. And those things are very important when you're, you know, presenting your material, because if it's not real, it's, you know, it's not worth doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that at that point, you know, there's plenty of covers you could choose to do, which are great in their own right. But if you're, you know, if you're feeling something and it's your music, that's great, man. I'm glad to hear that. So let's talk about let's talk about this. First, I want you to go through and just tell me who the band is. And then I want to just ask you where you guys are going, and then we'll listen to this CD.
All right. Okay. The band, you know, I told you just briefly how it started, but it was, it grew out of some music director tours from Colorado out to California. I've got several connections in California and have been out there once or twice a year for the last 10 years. And when I started bringing music directors with me, you know, it was just a great community building thing. We weren't attempting to start a band or anything. But after 3 years of doing it, some people with like minds and like calling decided that instead of, you know, letting this be a concept with a lot of changing pieces every year, let's form a band out of it and see what happens. And so that's how we started. And we've got nine core members, but the band is actually larger than that when we play. You know, we'll still pick up some other pieces along the way, just depending on what state we're in and what stage we're on and who's available and things like that. So we've got, we do have a revolving door with a few of the positions. But the people that are the core group are the five singers that usually stand to my right on stage, and that's Michelle Pulley and Colinas Hutt and Julie McCluskey, Nicole Walters, who we've talked about, and Allende Russell. And then usually standing to my left is a horn section, and that's Chris Lang and Matt White and O.J. Blackwell. And then we've got a steady Hammond organ player and a wonderful classical pianist who just is amazing to hear and watch her development of playing all this soulful music. And her name is Caitlin Odell, and she's also our business manager and just works extremely hard. Let's see what else. Is that nine? I lost count.
I think, yeah. You know, I wasn't counting either.
and I make nine. And then we will contract out a drummer and a bass player. And oftentimes that would be Terrell Martin on drums, Steve Holly on bass. You mentioned Owen, who plays guitar with us quite a bit. We had a guitar player who moved to Kentucky. So Owen stepped right in and is doing fantastic. And then we've got a percussion player that we contract for most of our things here in Denver, and that's Jose Espino. And so, you know, if you're listening and you know some of these guys, a lot of these guys play in other bands around town, and, you know, just some of Denver's finest, and I'm very privileged to be in a band with these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it reflects well in the music. I had put out there when I started talking about this upcoming show, before reading the About Us page on your site, actually, because I can never get past listening to Great and Mighty Things. Every time I click on it, I just let it play, and I'll replay it. I never get past that page. But you had identified it as an expression of funk, soul, swing, gospel, jazz, and fun to God music. Well, you know, I had put in those elements of funk and, you know, and jazz and soul, and it's a very unique approach to Christian music. And one of the cool things about Christian music now is that it's great. I mean, there's so many people are coming at every genre of music to worship the Lord, and it's a great time in Christian music. I think we have, you know, better music than what's out there on secular radio. I mean, this is great, great stuff. And you guys have combined a lot of different elements into one thing, and it's very unique, and I really enjoy it. So, and I know our listeners are going to enjoy it here in a minute again. And again, I want to identify that I'm talking to Dave Lemieux of Dave Lemieux and the House of Soul. And let me just say this too, for people who, when they go to our website, they'll be able to click right through on the featured artist page to your website. But for those who might be listening through other means out there on the web and things, you know, it's Dave Lemieux and houseofsoul.com. And I'm actually going to spell out part of it because the rest of it's fairly easy. But, you know, the Dave part's pretty easy. People can get that. But then the Lemieux part, it's Lemieux and houseofsoul.com. I only had to spell out one thing. That wasn't too difficult. But I want to make sure people get it right. Dave Lemieux and houseofsoul.com. And if they type it in, if you Google it, I know it'll come up even if you spell it wrong. So, you know, let's talk about where the band's going real quick. What's next on the schedule for you guys? And I mean the bigger schedule. What's coming up?
Yeah, well, you know, in a perfect world, you want to analyze, you know, what you're feeling God is calling you to do. So I think I'm a fairly introspective type, and I think about that kind of thing a lot. So it's hard to know sometimes, you know, to know that you know that you know that you're doing what you're supposed to do. And so, you know, I ask God a lot, what does he want me to do? And the best thing I can come up with is, you know, he wants me to go to bed at night knowing that I've been used of him, you know, maybe slightly exhausted because of the because of the work that he's laid out for me to do, but also just full of his spirit, emptied out of myself, full of his spirit. And as I analyze what music has meant to me over the years, I was part of a broken family. And when I was about my daughter's age, she's eight now, my folks went through a divorce. There were four of us kids, and I still think I'm reeling from that. You know, 30 years later, I still think that God is trying to rebuild something that was shattered there. And so music has played a huge part in that for me. It's given me, you know, part of my identity. It's given me a way, kind of a language to become closer to God, my Father in heaven. And so if there are places in this world or in my community, in my own backyard, where there are broken people, people trying to rebuild, you know, that's where I feel like I can make an impact, and God is seems to be fanning that flame and seems to be just helping to bear that out or to make that easier to see. We've got some invites right now for the band to go overseas into places where just the ground is kind of cold to the West. It's cold to the gospel. You know, former communist Russia, places like that, where the invites have come in, and there's just a specific desire, you know, that they're bringing up when they invite us. They say, hey, you know, if we could just get the gospel here in song, maybe we could break up some of this cold ground, and something good will happen. So there's things like that that are right in front of us, and we're looking at it, and we're trying to figure out how you can take a 14-piece band here and there. You know, there's a lot of places that could never afford to have us come, places that we need to go. You know, so as we develop the plan of action for the next couple of years, that's probably a prayer request for anybody listening now, just that God will guide us into the places that we're most needed, because we just want to be used, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's excellent. Good answer, man. Great job. Great interview. And we're going to sit back now and listen to this excellent CD, and you and I will be getting together soon, bro.
All right. Enjoy it, everybody.
Thanks for the time. Take care. All right.